Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, what a crowd for a Wednesday night especially. Thank God. Something must be going on around here. I know what it is. Amen. Amen. Yeah, if you feed somebody, they'll come back. We appreciate God's goodness and the privilege to be here and the opportunity to preach tonight. Sister Doris and Brother Calvin was two of our favorite people. And I'm telling you, it's a strain. It's hard to sum up somebody's life in a few minutes. So I did my best, but we appreciate the honor to come and conduct their funerals and be in service with you tonight. However, the weather's not cooperated. We're headed back south tomorrow. The Sunshine State. I was preaching in Michigan, and you know you'd like to be patted on the back. Let's be honest. A fella came up to me and said, "You know, I'd rather hear you preach as eat." I felt pretty good until he said, "I've heard you eat." That's pretty tough. We're glad to be here. Thank you so much for each of you that's come. Don't want to hold you too late. You pray for us tonight, and we'll preach a sermon that I've preached before. I know Cal Ray preached it, because I had the tape of it, amen, several years ago. Nevertheless, God laid it on my heart. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 92. We'll read verse 12. Appreciate again each of you. We love you. Many of you come to our camp meeting. We got Cal Ray and Brian down there, and boy, they did a job for us. They'll be back next year, the second Sunday in January. It always follows. Come and be with us. Psalm 92:12. I believe most of you are there. The Bible said, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." If God would help me tonight, I'd like to attempt to preach on the cedars of Lebanon. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, dear God, for this privilege to be with these folks, dear God, that we love. Thank you, Lord, for this great church and this wonderful crowd that's come out on a rainy Wednesday night, dear God, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for them, each one. We ask, dear God, you'd bless us. Touch our voice, dear God. Give us voice. I pray to preach thy word. Speak to hearts, dear God, for one lost, that they might be saved. If there's a Christian that needs a revival, we pray, God, that they might come, this old-fashioned order. We're thankful we can find pardon for our sin and peace for our soul. Bless us, we pray, for a few minutes tonight. We'll thank and praise you and everything. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. We know tonight that the Christian is likened to many different things in our Bibles. We're pictured as sheep many places. The 23rd Psalm, verse 1, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Thank God. David said, "I'm like a little sheep, but I have a good shepherd." Isaiah chapter 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so maybe more so than any other thing, we're likened to sheep in the Bible. We're likened to the eagle also many times in the Bible. If I count them correctly, I count 34 times that the eagle is mentioned in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Thank God for the eagle. God holds the eagle up and says to us, be like the eagle. Now, the eagle has honor above any other bird that God created. There's no bird, member of the bird family, that has more honor and respect. It's honored around the world. Thank God it has honor above any other bird. Then it has a home above any other bird that God created. I've read the golden eagle travels thousands of miles searching for the right place to build its home. Brother, it doesn't build the first spot that it comes to. Thank God they said it'll travel thousands of miles and it'll pick a place up high. Job said to build up on the crag of the rock. For it's a place of safety, security, and strength. And they bestow great care on their home and their family. No member of the bird family bestows greater care than the eagle does. And be very careful tonight how you build your home. Thank God. Don't build down on the low lands of this old world. Praise God. God made us for the heights. Thank God forever. He didn't make us to scratch for worms like the chicken, but God made us for the heights. So the eagle has honor above any other bird. It has a home above any other bird. Then it has a heart above any other bird that God created. It's fearless. I read that it'll attack something many times its size. Thank God it has a heart above any other bird. Then it has a heritage above any other bird. And so God says we're like the sheep. Most of all, that we go astray. But he said also, we're like the eagle, thank God. And so in the verse that we've read tonight, we're likened to the palm tree and the mighty cedar. The Bible said the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow as a cedar in Lebanon. We need some of the characteristics of the cedar, folks, in our Christian life, thank God, tonight. What are some of the characteristics? Well, first of all, it's strong. The cedar is a strong tree. I read, Brother Cow, that they say some of the fiercest snowstorms in the world take place on the mountains of Lebanon. They have some fierce snowfalls. But, Brother, that mighty cedar, thank God, stands for centuries. You know why? It's a strong tree. I'm telling you tonight, God wants us to be strong, Christian. Thank God we don't have to be a weakling, kicked around by the devil. Thanks be to God. I read today in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua's ready to lead Israel over into the promised land. I've been a little apprehensive, too, if I was going in enemy territory and he's facing the stronghold of the Canaanites. But God said, Joshua, I was with Moses and I'll be with you. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread, I've given it to you. He said, be strong and of good courage. Several times in that first chapter, God said, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. I'm going to be with you. Don't be dismayed. Thank God I'm going to give you the victory. You know God has given us victory tonight. Thanks be to God. God repeats it. He said, I've given you this land, Joshua. God's given us victory. The Bible said, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, if you're living in defeat tonight, it's your fault. It's not God's, because God has given us victory. Thank His, praise His name forever. And so Joshua, God said, be strong and of a good courage. And so we need to be strong. Closing the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so thank God the cedar is strong. Not only that, but the cedar is steadfast. Praise God, it's not going anywhere. After other trees have been blown away and are long since gone, the mighty cedar is still standing, for it's steadfast. We live in a day when many are blown about by every wind of doctrine. But thank God we need to be steadfast tonight. Thanks be to God forever. The Bible said they're blown about by every wind of doctrine. But Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the love, work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Many are so easily moved. But the Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. The cedar is strong. The cedar is steadfast. And then the cedar is sweet. It puts off a sweet fragrance and is sweet to smell. If we live close to Jesus, thank God, He'll keep us sweet. I tell our folks, I said, we ought to be like preserves, thank God. You know, the older preserves get, the sweeter they get. And I've actually left them in the refrigerator so long that they turn to sugar. I said, bless God, we ought to live so close to God that the older we get, the sweeter we ought to get. By the time He gets ready to take us to heaven, thank God, we ought to be turned to sugar. Praise God for heaven. I believe God's people ought to be sweet. Amen. I believe that. I believe God's people ought to be the easiest people in the world to get along with. Thank God we ought to be sweet. We're coming up and we're looking in a store at jewelry boxes and made a seat. I said, smell this, Diane. It had that sweet fragrance. I was preaching in Michigan a number of years ago. And I preached on the cedar one Sunday morning. I mentioned how sweet the fragrance was. This man came out and he said, you know, you're right about the cedar, Brother Duncan. He said, when my daughter was born, a man made her a cedar chest and said it had the sweetest fragrance. He said, my daughter is over 40 years old now. And he said, you can open it and still smell the sweet fragrance. I said, thank God. God will give us something. Praise His name forever. That will keep us sweet. Thank God in our souls. I believe we ought to be sweet. James said, doth the fountain send forth both bitter and sweet water at the same time? Thank God we as God's people. Brother Roloff used to sing, keep in touch with Jesus, and He'll keep you sweet. Thank God. We ought to be sweet, I believe. And I heard a story about a man and his wife that was traveling from Memphis to Nashville. And his wife was hard of hearing. And I'll be honest, when you're hard of hearing, you irritate people. I know I irritate some folks. I irritate my wife, I'm sure. Because everything she says, I have to say, what I didn't hear you, please repeat it, you know. Oh, I beg your pardon. And so on. I never could hear. I'm a right ear. Been gone for years, but now I think my left ear is gone. I'm like Uncle Bud Robinson. Uncle Bud lost a hearing in one ear. He went to the doctor. He said, I lost a hearing in my right ear. And the doctor examined him. He said, Uncle Bud, it's old age. He said, that's impossible. My left ear is the same age as my right ear. Praise God. And anyway, I'm getting hard of hearing. I really am. I can't hear at all. I'm a right ear. My left ear is failing fast. This lady was hard of hearing, and she kind of irritated her husband. And he was driving along, and he said, I'm going to have to stop and fill up with gas. She said, what did you say? He said, I said I'm going to have to stop and fill up with gas. Oh, she said. He pulled into the service station. Young man said, how can I help you? He said, fill her up. She said, what did he say? He said he wanted to know how much gas I wanted, and I told him to fill it up. Oh, she said. Young man said, where are you going? He said, going to Nashville. She said, what did he say? And he said he wants to know where we're going, and I told him we're going to Nashville. The young man said, where are you coming from? He said, Memphis. That young man said, you know, I knew an old lady down in Memphis. Said, that was the meanest old lady on the face of the earth. The lady said, what did he say? He said, he thinks he knows you. Praise God. The cedar is strong. The cedar is steadfast. And thank God the cedar is sweet. I want to give you some things about the cedar real quick tonight. Then we'll be done. The cedar, first of all, is planted. Do you know the mighty cedar grows from a nut placed in the ground by God Himself? You say, can you prove it? Yes, I can. Psalm 104, 16, this is what it says. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted. God planted the cedar. It's His handiwork, and He is responsible for it. I like the old songs that you sung tonight. Bless God, I still like the old song. I do. I'm telling you, this new stuff, don't get it with me. But I thought the old song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but thank God He washed it white as snow. Praise God, He paid the price. That verse speaks of salvation. For it says the cedars of Lebanon, which He had planted. It did not plant itself, but was planted by God in a favorable spot. So it's through His sacrifice and His work that this tree was born. It's not through our good works or our efforts that we're saved. But praise God, it was through the love and sacrifice of God the Father and His only begotten Son that we enjoy the benefits of salvation. Praise God, Brother Roloff used to say, salvation is of God. He said, God thought it. Jesus bought it. The Holy Ghost wrought it. The devil fought it. But he said, thank God I got it. I'm glad for Jesus. Praise God tonight. That verse speaks of salvation. Years ago, the governor of Massachusetts was a Christian man. He had two friends that were going to the Holy Land, but he could not go. They went and they enjoyed themselves, but they'd think about the governor. Finally, they went to Calvary, where Jesus suffered and bled and died. They said, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if the governor was here. One of them took out a knife and cut a little branch off a tree, and he cleaned it up and said, I'm going to take this back to the governor as a souvenir. So they came back to the States and they went to see the governor. He handed that souvenir. He said, this is from Calvary. He said, governor, I want you to know that while we were standing at Calvary, we were thinking about you. They said, tears filled his eyes. He said, fellas, I appreciate that so much. But more than this, thank God, I'm glad 2,000 years ago, there's another that thought of me at Calvary. Praise God forever. I'm glad for Calvary. Amen. Thank God for the old rugged cross. That verse speaks of salvation. The cedars of Lebanon which he had planted. That verse speaks of being spirit filled because it says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Now it's the overflow of sap in a tree that makes the fruit. So if you have a tree full of sap, then it'll be very fruitful. That sap is a picture of a spirit-filled person. Praise God. If we have the Spirit of God, if it's overflowing in our life, there'll be fruit, folks. Praise His name forever. You say, what kind of fruit? Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Thank God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These nine things will be evident in our lives if we're filled with the Spirit of God. Thank God how we need His Holy Spirit. The sap is a picture of a spirit-filled person. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is ready to ascend back to the Father. His work here upon this earth is done. He gathers His little band of disciples together and says, tarry here until you be endued with power from on high. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And as He spoke in those words, the Bible said, a cloud received Him out of sight. There's two men white apparel that stood and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up? This same Jesus that came will come in like manner as you've seen Him taken. I'm glad, thank God, He left from the Mount of Olives and He's coming back. Praise God. I told our church that little pip squeak of a president in Iran made the statement they're going to eradicate, they're going to annihilate Israel. Said we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Brother, it'll never happen. Thank God. For my Bible said in Zechariah 14:2, God will gather all nations together against Jerusalem to battle. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as He did in the day of battle. And praise God, His feet shall touch the Mount of Olives. It'll cleave in the midst from the east to the west. Brother, let me tell you, nobody's going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Thank God. For Jesus is going to come, praise God, and fight their battle for them. Praise His name forever. Thank God in Acts chapter 1, the Savior went up. He ascended back to the Father. But in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit came down. Thank God. They're waiting on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled them all with the Spirit of God. And they went out everywhere witnessing. Thank God in Acts 1, the Savior went up. In Acts 2, the Spirit came down. In Acts chapter 3, the saints went out. Praise God. They went out everywhere telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God forever. And they won souls to Him. In Acts chapter 4, the sinners came in. The Bible said 5,000 men were saved. Thanks be to God forever. In Acts 5:17, the old Sadducees went wild. The Bible said they were filled with indignation. The devil don't like it when we win souls to the Lord. Thanks be to God. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, folks, in our churches. Thank God. This crown tonight is proof that folks still like the power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. God forever. Brother Mays Jackson told how he and the 64 other young preachers, when he was just a young man, was out in a cow pasture praying for the power of God. Some would laugh at that. I said, you know what? We'd be a lot better off, folks, if we spent a little more time out in the cow pasture praying for the power of God. I know that I would, thanks be to God. They're praying for the power of God. And there's a great preacher among them, Dr. Harold Seidler. And Harold said, Mays, preach for us. Brother Mays said, I don't have a Bible. Couldn't read it if I had one. It's dark. He said, just quote a verse and preach. Old Brother Mays said, I quoted a verse and started preaching. He said, they started shouting and running. And he said, I backed up against a tree to keep from getting run over. He said, brother, that's having the awfulest time you ever saw. And said the neighbor lady got upset and nervous and called the highway patrol. She said, you better send the car out here. There's Baptist preachers running wild. And the highway patrolman said, where they run? She said, out in the cow pasture. He said, call me back when they get out in the highway. Bless God. Thank God. I'm glad for the presence of God. I like some spirit, don't you? Yes, I do. Thank God forever. And so the cedar is planted. Number two, the cedar's needs are provided. Praise God. God provides for the cedar. He plants the cedar, and it's God who provides for the cedar. Boy, what a God we serve tonight. Thank God forever. When that little cedar gets hungry, praise God, it lifts its tiny face to God and says, Father, I'm hungry. And you know, we serve a God that's so great that, praise God, He just reaches down and sprinkles the chemicals and nutrients in the ground and said, little cedar, come and die. Thank God forever. When that little cedar gets hungry, it lifts its little face to God and says, Father, I'm thirsty. And God sends a rain and says, little cedar, come and drink. Praise God. After my dad went to heaven, Mom would go with me in most revivals. And Mom would say every once in a while, she's blind the last few years of her life, but Mom would say, Roger, do you get thirsty at night? I said, no, Mom. She said, I wake up thirsty a lot of times. And she said, you get me a large glass of water and put it there on the table beside my bed. I wake up thirsty. And she'd wake up during the night and get her a drink of water. I imagine that little old cedar, thank God, waking up in the midnight hour and saying, Father, it's me. I'm awake. Are you awake? I'm thirsty. And I can hear God answer back, little cedar, I'm the God of Israel. Thank God. I need the slumber sleep. Praise His name forever. And He sprinkles the dewdrop and said, little cedar, come and drink. Thank God. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. Thank God. When I'm thirsty, praise God, He's my water. Thank God. I couldn't make it without Jesus. Thank God. What would I be? Praise His name forever. God provides for the cedar. In Matthew chapter 6, the disciples are concerned about their clothes and what they eat. Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap. They're gathered in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. I'm telling you, folks, if we give God what belongs to Him, God will take care of it. I believe that with all my heart. My Bible said if we put Him first, thank God, He'll supply our needs. And I believe He will. I remember back when we first started ministry, we took a little church for $50 a week. And thank God. You say, how in the world did you live? God blessed us. God sent ravens to feed us. Amen. Just like He did old Elijah. Thank God. God fed Elijah miraculously. Three different ways. He fed him with ravens in 1 Kings 17. Praise God, ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank water from the brook. But the brook dried up. Well, God said, get down to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And praise God, the Bible said the meal and the barrel wasted not, neither did the crews of oil fail. Thank God till God sent rain. Then God fed him with an angel. Praise God before he called him home. I believe that God will take care of us. Amen. I read a story about a widow and her little son that sat before a barren table. They had nothing to eat. She thought she'd read something from the Bible. She just happened to turn to 1 Kings 17, where God fed Elijah with ravens. He said, Mother, do you mean that God fed Elijah with ravens? She said, yes, sweetheart. He fed Elijah with ravens. Well, he said, Mother, we're Christians. Don't you think God will feed us with ravens? She said, maybe He will, sweetheart. Well, he said, if God's going to send ravens, don't you think I could at least open the door and let Him in? He had a little more faith than she did, but she said, all right, honey. He opened the door, and a man passed by, and he saw the door open. It was winter time. He hollered in and says, everything all right in there? And she said, yes. But he said, the door was ajar, and it's winter time and cold, and I thought maybe something's wrong. Oh, no, she said, we don't have anything to eat. And I just read where God fed Elijah with ravens. My little boy thinks that ravens is coming. And so he opened the door. That man began to weep and went back to town. He said, I'll be God's ravens. Thank God. He got his wagon and horse and filled with food and brought them back and filled her pantry full of food. Praise God. I'm glad we can be His ravens, folks. Thank God forever. He'll use us for His honor and glory. Thank God forever. I'm glad that the cedar is planted and the cedar's needs are provided. And the cedar is permanent. The cedar is strong and steadfast, for it grows in the snow and the storms that it encounters. The cedar grows in the storm. I've never been to the Holy Land. I said, bless God, when they build a bridge from America to the Holy Land, is when I'll go, but not until. I know Cal Ray's been, but a friend of mine, he'd been to the Holy Land many times. He said, I've seen the cedars of Lebanon. He said this, the harsher the winter is, the greener the cedar is. I said, isn't that just like God? Praise God forever. Listen, Christian character is not grown in the sunshine of life, but in the storms when we go through. It's when sickness comes, when sorrow comes, that we learn to lean on God. Job went through the fire. He lost everything. But he said, when they have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The cedar grows in the storm, and the cedar continues to stand. I don't trust scientists, but I read this. Scientists say that some of these trees, cedars 11, are 3,500 years old. But I don't know if that's true or not, but they definitely are very old. And they've stood for centuries. And how in the world can they stand that many years? Going through those fierce snows, here's the reason why. Scientists have studied the root system of the cedar. And they said the cedar's roots go down to the earth, but they don't stop there. They continue to go until they reach a rock. And praise God, when they reach a rock, those roots wrap around the rock. And then, praise God, them roots says to the wind, "Wind, you can blow. I'm going to stand, thank God, for I'm wrapped around the rock." Praise God. That cedar says to the snow, "Snow, you can fall. I'm going to stand, praise God, because I'm wrapped around the rock." Praise God. Paul said we're to be rooted and built up in Him. Listen, folks, in these last days, if we're going to stand for God, we better run our spiritual roots deep, thank God. We better get wrapped around the rock, thank God, forever. I like the story of the little boy. They said a flash flood hit a little town and swept the little boy away with the flood waters. As he's being swept downstream, he saw a rock and he reached out, grabbed hold of that rock, held on to it all night. The next day they came, they rescued him, they took him home and put dry clothes on him and gave him something to eat. Then the reporters gathered around him to question him. They asked him about his ordeal that night. And they said, "I bet you were afraid, weren't you, son?" He said, "Yes, I was afraid." That fellow said, "I bet you were shaking, weren't you, son?" Little fellow thought for a moment. He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I shook, but," he said, "the rock didn't. Thank God forever." I'm telling you, folks, I said, these last about 20 years, I've shook, brother. The old Parkinson's and some diseases made me shake, but I said one thing about it, thanks be to God. I may shake, but I got a good foundation, thank God. I got a rock, praise God. I might shake, but the rock won't, praise God forever. Good to be saved tonight. Thank you, God, be blessed. Well, praise God. Well, the cedar is planted. The cedar needs are provided. The cedar is permanent. Then the cedar is productive. The cedar's wood is precious and is used to make jewelry boxes, hope chests, and many other things. The cedar was used in Solomon's beautiful temple and is still used today in many places to build homes with. Why did they use cedar wood? Because it's sweet to smell, it's beautiful to look at, it's insect resistant, it is productive. The cedar grows. The psalmist said, "We're to grow like a cedar." They grow to heights of over 100 feet, and some are 40 feet around. It grows. As a Christian, we're commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've said before to our churches, babies are one of life's greatest blessings. I'm telling you, we got grandkids now, and they're just the most precious things in all the world. But a baby that does not grow, it ceases to become a blessing. Now, you still love it and love it that much more, but it becomes a burden. You'll be burdened. If that little one doesn't grow, you know what you'll do? Brother, you'll take it to the doctor and say, "Doctor, my baby's not growing. There's something wrong here. I want you to find out the problem." And praise God, most of the time the doctor will find the cure. And of course, the little baby will regain his health. And I said, baby Christians are beautiful and wonderful. But a babe that remains a baby ceases to be a blessing and becomes a burden. Paul said we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He scolded some in the church at Corinth, for they had not grown. He said, "You're babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." And so the cedar grows. Then the cedar glows. By that I mean that the cedar is an evergreen. During the winter months when the other trees' leaves have turned brown and fallen to the ground, the beautiful cedar stays green. My brother Tim went to a gospel sing some years ago, and he told me that a certain group sang. They had a young man that testified, and the young man told how they went through the mountains one winter time. And he said, light snow had fallen, and said the leaves had discarded the trees had discarded their leaves. And he said everything was so dark and drab. And he said, just a sad picture. He said, we rounded a curve and suddenly there's a beautiful evergreen. And that young man said, God, make me an evergreen. And he wrote a beautiful song, God, make me an evergreen. Listen, I want to be an evergreen. Amen. It's easy to serve God in the sunshine of life. But brother, when you go through the storm, thank God, I want to be an evergreen. Old Paul was an evergreen. You know how I know? Because he wrote from a prison cell, I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Thanks be to God. H.G. Spafford was an evergreen. H.G. Spafford was an acquaintance of the great evangelist D.L. Moody. He was a wealthy man, but the Depression hit and he lost his wealth. He had a wife and five daughters. And they had famine in England. They said, send your wife and daughters over here to stay with us till you get things situated there in America. And so he kissed his wife and daughters goodbye. Out of the sea, there's an accident. The two vessels ran together. Mrs. Spafford just had time to get the five girls together and had prayer. And then they sang. She was struck by a fallen piece of a mass and knocked on a piece of wreckage. And miraculously, her life was saved. When she arrived in England, she sent back a message that consisted of two words, saved alone. H.G. Spafford lost his wealth. Worse than that, he lost his five daughters. But he didn't lose his faith in God. He boarded a vessel to go join his wife. He told the captain, when you reach a certain spot, longitude, latitude-wise, would you stop for just a moment? The captain said, yes, Mr. Spafford. They reached that spot. He knocked on his door one night and said, we've reached that spot and we've stopped the vessel. H.G. Spafford walked out on the bow of that ship, looked down in the water, they said, at the very spot that his daughter supposedly had gone down to a watery grave, lifted his eyes toward heaven and said, it's well with my soul. Praise God. Went back in his cabin, took a pencil and a piece of paper, wrote that old song we still sing today. Thank God that says, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot downs taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Thank God he is an evergreen. Praise God forever. The cedar grows, the cedar glows, and the cedar goes. Cedar wood is sent all over the world. We build our homes out of it. We build hope chests out of it. We send it everywhere. This speaks of our witness for Christ. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The cedar is productive. Lastly tonight, the cedar is a preacher. Like all of God's creation, the cedar speaks to us of some things. What does it preach about? It preaches about our rest. Ezekiel 17:23, God says, in the mountains of the height of Israel will I plant it. It shall be a goodly cedar. It shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. Inspired by God, Ezekiel tells how one day God would plant a cedar in Israel, and the course said is the Lord Jesus, and that all fowl of every wing would come and dwell and find rest in Him. 2,000 years ago when Christ was born, God planted a cedar in Bethlehem that would later say, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and thank God I'll give you rest. Praise God. It speaks of our rest. It speaks of our refuge. God said, here I'll plant a cedar where every person can come find a rest and a refuge. Psalm 46, David said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then lastly, it speaks of our responsibility. Zechariah 11:2 is somewhat of an odd verse of Scripture. Listen what it says. Zechariah 11:2 says, how, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Isn't that strange that God would say, little fir tree, how, for the mighty cedar is fallen. Here's the story behind it. On the mountains of Lebanon stands a mighty cedar. Many of them, I've said, are 100 feet tall. Some of them 40 feet around. And at the base of all those mighty cedars are little tiny fir trees. And if a fir tree falls, the forest is unaware of it. But when a mighty cedar that stood for hundreds of years and is so tall and so 40 feet around, when it falls to the ground, everything in the forest is aware of it. You know why the little fir tree howls? because the mighty cedar falls on top of it and they're crushed in the fall. Listen to me, parents here tonight. In the eyes of your children, you're a mighty cedar. May God help us to stand tall and walk straight. You know why? Because if we go down, little fir trees are going to be injured in the fall. Let's stand for God. Thank God for every person here tonight. If you think, I'm sure if you've been a Christian very long, you can think of someone that was once a mighty cedar for God, but they're fallen tonight. And there have been a lot of people that's injured in the fall. Stand tall and walk straight for God. I read a story of a man that walked to work each morning. He fell into the habit of stopping by a tavern for a few drinks. One morning it had snowed. As he walked through the snow, he left footprints in the snow. As he approached the tavern door, he heard a little voice saying, "Daddy, I'm coming in your footsteps. Daddy, I'm coming in your footsteps." He turned around and looked, and there's his little boy stepping in the footprints that he'd made in the snow. He said, "Dear God, my footsteps have led my son to the tavern door. With the help and grace of God from this day forward, they'll lead him in a different direction." And he gave his heart and life to the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, where are your footsteps leading your little ones? Thank God. Need to walk straight. Praise God. I read a story of a man. He listened as his son and several other little boys were playing in the front yard. And you know how little boys are. Here's the way little boys think. My dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad can whip your dad. But this day they're bragging on who their daddies knew. One little fellow said, "My dad knows the mayor of this city." They oohed and awed. They really thought that was something. Not to be outdone, the second little boy said, "That's nothing." He said, "My dad knows the governor of the state." They oohed and awed again. And the third little boy spoke up as his dad listened. He said, "That's nothing. My dad knows God." That father said he went to the bedroom and fell on his knees with tears streaming down his face. He said, "Oh God, help my little boy always to be able to say, my dad knows God." My dad went to heaven a few years ago, and I preached his funeral. He was a common man. He was a carpenter. As he lay there in front of the pulpit, I could not say my dad knew the mayor. I could not say my dad knew the governor. But I could say my daddy knew God. Thank God. He lived for God. Praise God. And furthermore, when my life is over and I'm lying a corpse in front of the pulpit, brother, my kids will be able to walk by and say, "My old dad knew God." I'll not live my life in vain. Well, glory to God forever. Praise God forever. Do you know God tonight? Praise God. I want to be a cedar. I want to stand tall and straight because little footsteps are coming behind us. Thank God. Let's bow our head in a moment of prayer.